You're
talking to
one of your elders. You just had some
questions.
How you doing? I'm
Chuck.
Oscar.
Nice to meet you, Oscar.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You got your missionary on the street?
I did. I served in Vegas.
In Vegas?
Yeah,
that's
back.
A tough spot.
That was all right.
Yeah?
You met all sorts of type of people for everybody. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Sin City, they call it.
Yeah. It was cool because the guys that people would normally stay away with, they're like, hey, man, you guys are good guys. We got your back. So
yeah.
It was pretty easy.
Okay, so... And you believe the Bible's fully true.
Yeah.
It's not corrupted.
Uh-huh.
It's fully true. It's fully viable. And so where do you get the understanding that there needs to be another book attributed with the Bible?
In what sense?
Like where did...
Book of Mormon, for the Great Price.
Where does the Book of Mormon, where does that come from out of just reading the Bible and understanding the Bible being the truth? Having the true God.
So I guess if I could ask you a question, would you believe that God loves everybody equally?
No.
No?
I believe that God has different forms of love.
Okay.
And God's love of complacency, love of affection is only to those who choose his head for the tombs. It doesn't mean that God has a general good will to his people and a general beneficial desire to which you mean in general. I think it's a thing of existence. But I don't think that God loves everyone to his own people. Do you believe that God hates people?
I believe he punishes them for... depending on their actions.
Proverbs 6:16 says, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord amongst the brethren. Mm-hmm. And so these aren't just things or actions, these are people. A false witness who speaks lies, God hates. And so, yes, God is a God of love. And in one sense, there is a universal love in that it rains on the evil farmer's field and the good. I breathe in oxygen as a sinner, right? Even denying my God, professed atheist, God let me breathe his oxygen. That was an act of grace and, in one sense, love. And yet his love for his children is infinitely different. It is an eternal love, a saving love, a salvific love. For those that are actively engaged in these sins, it says these six things the Lord hates: the proud look, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, and a false witness who speaks lies. It's very important that we speak truth, that we speak the truth of God's Word, back to what Paul was saying. From our perspective as Bible believers, 2 Timothy 3:15 says that the Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then verse 17 says they're able to make you complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so they're able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, and they're able to make you complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that was, you know, roughly 1,800 years before the Book of Mormon, A Pearl of Great Price, ever came. And so it would seem that there's a divergence, a disagreement, which would put one of us in danger of being a lying false witness, a false witness who speaks lies. If this is the truth of God's Word, and it is able to make us wise for salvation, and make us complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work, then where does the Book of Mormon and the Pearl of Great Price come in? And the Doctrines and Covenants, for that matter. Because we were talking to a Mormon earlier this morning who called the Doctrines and Covenants Scripture.
Yep,
and so he put them on par with the Bible.
Right.
Yeah.
So where does it teach in the Bible that there needs to be more Scripture? Or even that the church went, because you believe the whole church went apostate, and that's why the Mormon...
Yeah, the priesthood authority.
Right. So where do you get that from Scripture, that the whole church would be apostate? You know, Jesus said in Matthew 16 that, you know, my church will be established, not even hell itself will be able to overcome it.
Okay.
So how can the whole church go dead and need to be brought back to life again? That would assume that Jesus is telling a lie. Or Joseph Smith is telling a lie. He said there needs to be another church. So at that point, we've got to believe, okay, well, who's telling the truth?
Well, could you show me where it says there will be no more Word of God coming forth?
Well, when it says that this is able to make us complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, you have to have a complete work in order for it to make you complete. And then in Revelation, the last book, which tells us the end of the story, when Christ returns, there's a new heavens and new earth in which only righteousness dwells. In the last book, with the end of the story, it says, don't add unto nor take away from the prophecies of this book or the curses that are going to be added. I do know that, actually. Yes, as it sealed up the law. Yeah, don't add unto or take away. Is it sealed up now? The gospel, the final revelation of God, it says don't add unto or take away. And here's the difference, right? Regarding a false witness who speaks lies and one who sows discord amongst the brethren. if the Book of Mormon and the Pearl of Great Price and the Doctrines and Covenants has a different God and a different Jesus and a different gospel and a different heaven than this book, the foundation, then ultimately we're in a situation of a false witness who speaks lies, because God is a God of truth. He does not lie, and he's a God who doesn't contradict himself, because he's a God of truth. And so, who is God? Who is God?
To me?
Yes.
The creator of our spirits. Our Father.
Our Father?
Our Father. Meaning
our spirits? Are there other spirits on other planets being created by other gods?
Yeah.
Okay. That is not God. The God of the Bible is the God of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, all of it, the entire cosmos. The God of the Bible is the God of Isaiah 44:24, who said, "I am the Lord, your Redeemer, who formed you in the womb, who what? Who makes all things. I spread abroad, or I stretch, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself." That's the God of the Bible. Jesus of the Bible, the God of the Bible, the Son, God the Son. Jesus said, John 1:1, or it says about him, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God," not a God, was God. "All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made."
Let us make man in our image.
Genesis 1:26. Let us, plurality in the Godhead, not God the Father and God the Mother, but plurality in the Godhead, let us make man in our image, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters.
Uh-huh.
Right? Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. No celestial sexual relations with a goddess. There is no goddess in the Bible except condemned as a pagan idol. And so, the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, the Doctrines and Covenants, it has another God who once was a man who became a God. In Isaiah 43:10, says, "Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I am the only Savior." That is the God of the Bible.
But then Jesus says he's
no God before him, no God after him. And you're right. And then Jesus says he's a Savior.
Of both God, different persons.
Which is
the same God.
What Jesus said in John 10:30, "I and the Father are one."
I probably wouldn't agree with that.
Right. So
you don't.
Right.
No.
That's because
you don't agree with the Bible, my friend.
So what happens when, who was it who's being stoned to death and he said he saw God the Father in his throne and to his right he saw Jesus?
Stephen.
Christ. Yeah,
Stephen, Acts chapter 7.
And then the baptism of Christ. Where did that voice come from? When I said, "This is my beloved Son," and who?
Right, it was the Father in heaven, absolutely.
So how is Jesus on earth, and yet God the Father, if they're not one?
Because we're not modalists. Modalism is that God the Father became God the Son, became God the Holy Spirit. That's modalism. That's heresy. That's not what the Bible teaches. What the Bible teaches is, let us make man in our image. Mm-hmm. That's plurality in the Godhead. One God, image. One God. Let us make God,
so
man in our...
one person, not in different...
One God, three persons.
Okay.
But not separate.
All right.
Yeah, distinct
same purpose,
persons.
Difference.
Not just purpose.
In essence.
Essence.
Okay, yeah.
One God.
Okay, then
I
agree with you.
Even in baptism. Baptize them in the name, singular, one essence, name, really one name, Yahweh, or
uh-huh.
some pronounce it Jehovah or Yeshua. Yahweh. One name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you're baptizing one baptism, one immersion, right? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which says what? They're equal. They're co-equal.
Mm-hmm.
They're of the same essence, yet they're three persons. In Acts chapter 5, when Ananias and Sapphira, lied. They didn't lie to men, said Peter, but to God. But God who? God, the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. is whom they lied to.
No, I agree
and
with
so,
you about him in the sense that you're telling me.
Well, you believe that Jesus is a different God.
But you believe Jesus is a man who became a God, not a God who became a man.
You believe that God was a man.
We believe he was a God who became a man to fulfill his purpose.
Rather than God who became a man.
No, you believe he was a spirit who became a man who became a God. That's Mormonism.
Spirit to man.
To God.
To God.
Well, I guess semi-God, because he had more than what anybody, any earthly human being can do. I mean, for him to...
But nevertheless, he was a human being, right?
Partial. Because, I mean, he decided when he was going to die. I mean, he chose that within himself. No human being could do that.
Oh.
Besides someone with godly features.
Right, right. And yet, you believe...
I really got to get going.
You believe God the Father was once a man who became a God, right?
Yes.
Yes. And that Jesus was a man who became a God to show you how to, as a man, to become a God.
Yes.
Right. Look up Satan in the Bible.
Uh-huh.
That's the original sin. Satan wanted to be like God. God cast him out of heaven.
Him.
Satan is not a spirit baby of God the Father and God the Mother. Satan is a fallen angel who rebelled against God and got cast out of heaven for wanting to be like God. And he came and he deceived Joseph Smith. And he's deceiving you, my
child. He was trying to become like God. He wanted to overpower God in the sense he wanted to take God the Father's
right.
glory.
Well, that's becoming like God. That's taking God's power.
Not becoming.
That's becoming like God's power, like wanting to usurp that.
We believe the doctrine that yes, we can become as God is, but we're never going to be God.
Oh, no, not of this planet, but you'll be God somewhere else.
Yes.
You'll be Heavenly Father on another planet. That's blasphemy, my friend. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It isn't just in order. It means universally in any place, anywhere in God's cosmos, because there is only one God who created all things. It says of Jesus in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it says that he created all things, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. He created all things.
But here's the thing with the Mormon God. They believe he was a man who became God. So how does a man create the world?
Uncreated.
Right.
Do you believe we're all created in the image of a God first? I'm going to ask you
in the image of God, yes.
Okay. So, question, why do we have belly buttons?
Because we were born of our mother.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, if we have belly buttons, then that's wouldn't God would have one too?
No, because God's not like us.
God is uncreated.
Image of God.
So, we're not exactly then created in the image of Him. So, then it would be contradictory.
Listen, are you infinite? Do you have an eternal mindset? Are you universal in your thinking?
I try to be.
No.
I mean, I'm not. But
no.
I try to be. I try
you
to think
of. You know what's going on in Jupiter, but God does, because He's universal. See, God's not made in our image. We're made in His. That means we're like God in a finite.
You just said we're made in His image.
Right. But that's not the other way around. Just because, I mean, God is not, He's not contained to one place.
Mm-hmm.
He descended and became a man just to save us from our sin. If He wasn't like us in that sense, and Jesus becoming man, we have no substitute. That makes sense?
Yeah. Well, hey, man, I mean, honestly, I respect for what you guys do.
Well,
I'm strong in my faith.
That is a flawed contradiction. Having a particular man, not God yet, create the whole world. How is a particular man going to create the whole world?
We don't know everything, do we?
Isaiah 43:10.
That's why the prophets are always essential.
That doesn't mean you have to believe in falsehood, especially when the Bible says otherwise, and it can actually make sense of that.
Isaiah 43:10. Before me there was no God formed. One second.
Before me there was no God formed,
nor shall there be after me. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. And yet the foundation of your faith is that before God there were infinite gods, and after Him there are going to be infinite gods as well. It is heresy, and you're going to die in your heresy. As a lying, false prophet, I'm not trying to be offensive,
but
you're there in Proverbs chapter 6, as one who God hates, and you'll abide under His wrath. That's what His hatred is.
Uh-huh.
It's holy indignation in a very real place called hell. Unless you repent. I don't want you to go to hell. It's real. And the devil is real. And he's deceived you in a lying false church with a lying false prophet with a false gospel and a false God, an idol that does not exist. A man cannot become a God. God became man in the person of Jesus Christ. He said in John 10, verse 30, I and the Father are one. Verse 33, they said, you being a man, make yourself God. Now, He being God, made Himself man. He took upon Himself an additional nature. The eternal God, the Son, took upon Himself an additional nature, that of mankind, that He might die in our place, taking the fullness of the wrath of God in our place. Died, said, it is finished. Paid the eternal debt of our sin that would take us an eternity in hell. Was buried and rose again on the third day, conquering sin and death, so that you might be saved from your idolatry, my friend. And that's where you abide right now, as an object of God's wrath. John 3:36, he who believes upon the Son, you don't. He who believes upon the Son, you have a false son. He who believes upon the Son has everlasting life, but you don't have it. He who does not believe the Son, that's you. You don't believe Him. You've got another son. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. Unless you repent of your false Christ, your false God, come to the true Christ through his true gospel, you will abide in his wrath forever. I don't want that for you.
Thank you.
Turn to Christ. Turn to Christ. Be saved. I love you.
Yeah, take care, man.
Don't die in your sins.
I will.
Well, you will unless you repent. You can contact me here anytime at that website. Love to chat. Sit down.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a coffee. I'll drink it. You watch, because you don't drink that. But
that's it.
You can have a bagel. You can have a bagel.
I mean, I think if anything, you know, when I first went on my mission, I was a convert to the church. And I always talked to people who were of different faiths, who would quote the scriptures. I mean, but the one thing I would always look forward to was the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Whether or not did I feel them touch my heart or not. And so, from what I've heard today, I just haven't felt it.
Well, that's experiential. That's a burning in the bosom.
Because if the Spirit testifies the truth, then what you're telling me should have testified to me, and I haven't felt it.
Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That you have heard.
Didn't you just tell me the Word of God?
And you're opposed to it. That's because you're dead in your sin.
Because
you just said, I don't feel it.
Yeah.
I don't feel it.
I don't feel it.
I'm rejecting it.
Because relative to his experience, he would disagree with that religion. That doesn't prove anything. The relative fullness of accepting truth. The objective nature of truth is propositional statements that no one can deny or reject without being proven. So just because you haven't felt it, you probably angry. You probably
no, I believe in Galatians, where it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, and all those.
Absolutely.
I haven't felt it.
We have to believe the other side, because if anyone preaches a different gospel than what the Bible says, he should be accursed.
So that's what I'm saying. He was preaching the Bible to me, and I was listening for all those promptings that I didn't receive any.
Well, you should agree that you were under a curse. Because your gospel is different.
There's nowhere in the Bible where it says you should define truth by how you feel.
But thank you.
God has given you a mind. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, and your mind. Not your feelings. Not just your feelings. Bring your feelings into subjection to the Word of God, my friend. Don't die in your sin following feelings.